At the end of formal ritual prayer, individuals are free then to offer personal prayers, dua. These are prayers of petition or thanksgiving to God. The third pillar of Islam is zakat, the tithe or almsgiving. Zakat literally means purification. It's both an act of self-purification and a social obligation. Payment of this tithe purifies, therefore, not only a person's soul, but also what is given or distributed to people. It reminds Muslims, and this is the most important point, that their wealth is a gift from God, that they have an obligation to share that wealth with others. And we find, again, common variants on this in Judaism and Christianity in their forms of tithing. Zakat and salat, worship, are often mentioned in the same Quranic verse, reinforcing its significance. And indeed, an early Muslim observed, it's almost a Muslim proverb, that prayer carries us halfway to God. Fasting brings us to the door of his praises. Almsgiving procures for us admission. Zakat, importantly, is both an individual and a communal responsibility, expressing worship of and thanksgiving to God by supporting the poor. It is paid during Ramadan, the month of fast. The zakat is constituted of a 2.5% tax on an individual's total wealth and assets, not merely on annual income. So it's total wealth and assets. Thus, Islamic law stipulated very clearly and specifically those areas covered, silver and gold, animals, agricultural products. Today, modern forms of wealth, bank accounts, real estate, stocks, bonds are included. Zakat is not viewed as voluntary. It's not simply a voluntary charity. It is an obligation incumbent on all believers. For all who have received from God have an obligation to give back. It is a way of taking care of those who are poor, needy, debtors, those who travel, those who are on pilgrimage, those who seek religious knowledge. Thus, zakat functions as an informal social security, at least in the past of Muslim society and for some today. It is a way in which the poor in society, even today, can receive help from those who are in a better situation. There are other religious taxes in Islam. In Shi'i Islam, there is the khums. Khums means one-fifth. And for Shi'i Muslims, they pay one-fifth, an obligatory tax to their religious leaders, who then redistribute it for a variety of purposes, from educational to developing seminaries to helping orphans. And there's the more voluntary forms of almsgiving called sadaqah. But it is zakat that is the obligatory form of almsgiving on all Muslims, whether they are Sunni or Shi'i. In early Islamic times, the zakat was collected by the government, held in a central treasury, and used to help the needy, to build schools, hospitals, hostels, to defray government expenses. In this way, Muslims sought to fulfill the Quranic mandate. The alms are for the poor, the needy, and those who collect and distribute them, and for redeeming slaves and captives, repaying debtors, and in the cause of God, and for travelers. Thus God commands, God is all-knowing and wise. Quran chapter 9, verse 60. In modern times, zakat has been left to the conscience of individuals. Many people give it to poor members of the family and those in their surrounding areas, as well as to others in more distant areas. However, some governments in recent decades, like Pakistan, have attempted to reintroduce the state collection and distribution of zakat. Highly contentious. But people worry about how the government will actually use their taxes, as it were. And of course, those who really do not wish to pay all that they should be paying worry about a government that's going to go right into their bank accounts and take the money. Indeed, when it was first introduced in Pakistan, people woke up in the morning to an announcement on television, lest they suffer, I guess, undue anxiety. The fourth pillar of Islam, the fast of Ramadan, occurs once each year during the month of Ramadan, the ninth month of the Islamic lunar calendar. This, it's important to note, is the month in which the first revelation of the Quran came to Muhammad. Ramadan is a time not only of physical discipline, but also spiritual reflection. During this month-long fast, Muslims whose health permits, and that's what's important, whose health permits, must abstain from dawn to sunset from food, drink, and sexual activity. Those who are sick, pregnant, weakened by old age are exempted. Muslims on a journey may postpone and make it up later.